When development is the story, the Star's Kevin Collison is the answer. He covers all manner of development for the newspaper. And Kevin, welcome back. So good to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks for the intro.
Just was driving an I-35 the other day out in Merriam, and I drove past the IKEA store that's under construction out there. I could not believe just how enormous that place was. It looks like an airline hangar from the interstate. When is that store scheduled to come online? What's happening with that thing?
Well, it's 360,000 square feet. It
wow.
is one big
wow.
blue box
yes,
with the familiar IKEA yellow trim. It's scheduled to open up this fall. And as an interesting segue to what you were just talking about with Steve, we just did something last week. They announced they're going to be putting the largest array of solar panels on rooftop, in the state of Kansas that'll generate enough electricity to power 130 houses.
Wow.
So, again,
And
power the store, or at least some of its power. I'm not quite sure if it takes care of all of it. And they've also got a major geothermal heating and cooling setup there. So, again, they're bringing some European energy-saving savvy to Merriam, Kansas, which is a great example for what we can do in our country to reduce our dependence on coal-generated power. But it's quite a place.
That store is supposed to open up when,
Kevin? In the fall. Yeah, right.
So pretty soon.
Right. No, it's definitely moving. I think they're going to have 300 people working there. I talked briefly to the new store manager. So they're definitely full speed ahead. And again, anytime you write anything about IKEA, it's amazing. I just tweeted they were putting a solar roof on, and the thing got picked up by a dozen people in a matter of 10 minutes. So it's an IKEA, the cult of IKEA is out there.
And for those 10 people who don't know what IKEA is, it is
It's a Swedish-based furnishings company. They're famous for basically, you go through a showroom, huge showroom, obviously, and you pick out what furniture you want, a couch or a chair, whatever. Then you go down to their warehouse, and it's all in boxes, and you have to assemble this stuff. And they've got this down to a science where even a klutz like I can actually assemble most of this stuff. And then they have a lot of home furnishings, plates and pots and towels. But it's very much contemporary European-style stuff. It'll appeal a lot to younger people and to people who like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's a huge phenomena. And when they got one in Kansas City before St. Louis got theirs, again, it was another bit of crowing rights because the other two stores that are closer are Minneapolis and Dallas and Denver. So,
wow.
It's a big deal and it's fun and people really do travel a long distance to go to these places.
Different topic. You just wrote a column saying that former Kansas City Mayor Kay Barnes deserves far more recognition than she's getting. Has she really been overlooked?
I think so. The mayor, Sly James, thinks so. I mean, this is a woman who took on what had been probably a half a century of neglect in our downtown, particularly the South Loop area, and completely overhauled it with the Sprint Center, the Power and Light District, the H&R Block headquarters. And she was instrumental in a lot of other really good things that really brought our downtown back from irrelevancy. I mean, when I moved here back in 2001, it was a mess. It was an embarrassment. There were haunted houses down there. There were dirty bookstores. There was broken bottles, parking lots. And now it's really a place that people do enjoy going to. It's the only reason we're in the game for a potential Republican National Convention. Kay Barnes deserves more than just having the sidewalk in front of the Sprint Center named after her, especially when you take a look at some of the major facilities that have been named after other mayors in Kansas City. So Sly James says it's something it's really high on his list. He wants to get something accomplished. Exactly what it is, he'd like to see something that connects Kay's name with all she did downtown. One thought that got tossed out was maybe renaming 14th Street between the Sprint Center and Broadway after her. Hmm. It goes right through the middle of the Power and Light District and pretty much bisects some of the major things she did. But, there are other ideas out there. But, again, she did more in a few years than it had happened in probably 30, 40 years, at least, as to making downtown a place that people want to go again.
You were talking about Kay Barnes in connection with her work on the Power and Light District.
Right.
And yet, and Kevin, you know this very well, some critics might say that, hey, the city is spending millions every year to subsidize that district. Is it too soon to honor her? Because we don't know what the future might be of the Power and Light.
Well, we kind of do know what the future of the Power and Light District, at least for the foreseeable future, the city's going to have to subsidize that deal.
Is there any chance that that's going to turn around? Do you see,
At least a couple of years ago, the powers that be at City Hall pretty much thought that this thing was going to need city subsidies for at least the next, well, through the length of the bond, which is not good. Believe me, I'm not apologizing. And most people certainly are unhappy that this project didn't work financially the way it was projected. But on the flip side, I haven't talked to anybody at City Hall or in a position who, you know, cares about what's going on downtown that regrets the major investment that was made. And again, it had to make up for a heck of a long time of neglect. And Cordish argues, and there's certainly some merit to that, that a lot of the money that got spent on the Power and Light District was for long overdue replacement of sewers and parking garages and things that really didn't have immediate impact on the development itself. But no, nobody's proud of the fact that this thing is not performing financially. Hopefully Cordish will get more tenants in there. They've just broke ground and the crane's up now on their new apartment building at 13th and Walnut. It's a 25-story building. Hopefully bring more people that'll shop and attend the bars and restaurants, etc. It's a long haul project.
That's clearly the effort underway now, if I see this right, which is to get more people living right around that district to help, you know, help the businesses down there to ease up on this subsidy. Yeah. All those things playing together here.
That's part of it, and also again getting our convention act together. You know, a big reason why this Power and Light District was developed was not only just to provide people in the metro thing something to do and something to help complement the Sprint Center, but also to enhance our ability to be a place where conventions will want to go. Because for many years, from what I understand, you know, they'd bring these conventions to town and they'd put people on a bus and send them out to the plaza because there was really nothing for them to do downtown. So that's a part of it, too. And if we get more convention business in our city, which is another parallel goal these days, that should also help with the Power and Light District as well.
Kevin Collison is our guest. He covers development for the Kansas City Star. And if you have questions for Kevin on Kay Barnes, the Power and Light District, or really anything else, 816-235-2888 is our number here. Again, 816-235-2888. You know, Kevin, just in general, how healthy is the development scene in the metro? You just reported the other day that home construction, get this, skyrocketed by 88% in April in the metro over the same time as a year ago. The new Prairie Fire development is, you know, getting glowing reviews out in Johnson County. We just talked about IKEA being under construction. Your stories would suggest that there's a whole lot going on out there.
Well, I think we've definitely bounced back past the recession. That McGraw-Hill report about the it was not just single-family homes. It also included apartment construction, and that has been a red-hot sector of the real estate economy lately.
51st and Main seeing a big development.
There are big apartment projects. I was just talking to a colleague this morning about the big apartment development going up in Briarcliff off of Highway 9. You know, it just seems like every other week somebody is announcing a 200 or 300-unit apartment development. Plus, you got a lot of pent-up demand for single-family homes. I mean, mortgage rates are still low. Yeah. Builders for years, when the recession was in full swing, we're not building new homes. Now the demand's out there, so they're busting nails to get caught up with the demand. Retail, it's interesting. You know, Prairie Fire, and everybody tells me it's really finally been completed, but that thing has been in the works for over 6 years. I mean, it stalled out for a while. The recession hit. And, you know, and it also had some great incentives from the city of Overland Park. It's right down the street from Corbin Park, which is another big retailer that struggled. The original developer went bankrupt. So some of the retail projects we're seeing are finally getting done. These things were like 5, 6, 7 years in the making. I'm not still seeing yet a huge surge in new retail construction. We're getting some work done that had been happening before. And the other thing, so you got your housing, you got particularly apartments all over the metro. And another big sector of the local real estate economy that is doing quite well is the industrial, the distribution centers. I don't know how many of your listeners live way far south in southern Johnson County, but even just for a nice Sunday trip, go out there at 100 and God knows where and I-35. It's almost at the edge, but the huge Burlington Northern Santa Fe Intermodal Center out there is just an amazing piece of global logistics. They've got these 8-9-story tall cranes hauling these containers off like they're little toy blocks. And this is stuff that's coming in from all over the world and being offloaded from these trains onto trucks and into warehouses. And there's a big demand to build more warehouses for all these goods to be kept because it's all part of just the major global, you know, distribution world out there. And we're in a great place for it, being in the central part of the U.S. and having incredibly good rail access.
You know, given this really intense focus on apartment construction around the metro, does that begin to suggest that there's a small move away from folks wanting to buy houses, traditional homes, and moving to something that's a little bit easier to maintain and easier to care for?
There's definitely been some research along those lines that both younger people aren't as keen on buying that house as maybe a generation or two ago. I mean, I'm not saying that there, believe me, there's still a big, big demand for people to own their own homes. And I think older folks are starting to see what happened with the real estate bust a few years ago and saying, do I want all my assets tied up in buying another house? Or would I rather rent a place and put my money somewhere else? It's an interesting new phenomena. We are seeing more people willing to embrace the apartment lifestyle, which has obviously been something that you see back east all the time. But, you know, here in the Midwest, it's always been, I want to own my own house. Some of that thinking's being taken a second look at from both the younger folks and also older people who are downsizing.
We're visiting with Kevin Collison from The Star. The question on the table, does Kansas City Mayor Kay Barnes, former Kansas City Mayor Kay Barnes, deserve more recognition for her development of downtown Kansas City, or would something like that be a little bit premature? 816-235-2888 is our number. Again, 816-235-2888. Kevin, what part of the metro these days is the hottest right now in terms of new development and as a place to sort of be? Or is there one place?
Well, I mean, when you look at residential development, the Kansas City Northland subdivisions have been leading as long as I've been writing about housing construction. I mean, that area north of the river, Platte County, has been really doing well. Southern Johnson County is always doing very well. You know, I live in northeast Johnson County, and it's amazing what people are doing with the teardowns. I mean, they're buying homes for $200,000 or $300,000, knocking them down and building a $700,000 or $800,000 house to replace it. People seem to be a lot more confident these days. Again, there are still horror stories out there, folks that are underwater on their mortgages, et cetera. I mean, you know, the housing crisis has some lingering effects. But for most folks who feel confident about their job and with, again, the lower mortgage rates still being around, you're seeing a lot of residential. When it comes to the distribution warehouse stuff, that's way down in Edgerton and Olathe, and also up by the airport there's been some work, and also in Riverside there's been a lot of distribution space construction. And again, downtown, you know, the vacancy rates of apartments downtown are in the mid 90%. There is a still strong demand for residential downtown. Wow. So, you know, I do think that for the most part, again, unfortunately, the east side continues to struggle. There's efforts being made. There's a new grocery store that opened up on Prospect. I know that.
And 39th,
and then
I think,
Beacon Hill, I think, is doing very well. You know, but there are still some intractable issues that are really kind of keeping some of that prosperity from spreading to the east side of town. But I do think that even KCK, I mean, God, you go out to the Village West area, that area is just
still
cooking.
Can't believe it.
And I hope, you know, some of that is maybe starting to filter back into the eastern part of the city as well.
Again, as you look at these numbers, the 88% jump in home construction apartments you mentioned from April this year compared to April a year ago, would that suggest that the housing crisis in this country is over?
Well, I think
banks have loosened up a little bit.
Well, again, and one caveat about that April figure, it actually, we'd had a really slow first couple of months of the year. So really, we're about at the same pace as we were as of April through the first 4 months of the year. There had been a real kind of it was a little sleepy, maybe the weather, I'm not sure. But I do think that most experts believe that we have past, you know, we're back into a robust housing market. I think, you know, prices have been coming back up. Again, I'm not overlooking the fact there are still some people suffering out there, but I do believe builders are back out there in the field. The permits are being pulled. Again, the apartments going up. People, the existing home market is red hot in most neighborhoods. I mean,
yeah, my neighborhood. They're
yeah,
going
I wrote a story a couple
it's
of weeks
amazing.
Ago, and yeah, it's the kind of market where if you see a place you like it, you better move fast because there are multiple bids now for many properties out there in many parts of the city.
816-235-2888. Let's go to some calls here. Mike from Kansas City, Missouri. You're on with The Star's Kevin Collison. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Quick question. Is the apartment building at 5th and Grand moving forward?
As far as I know, yes. Centropolis? Yeah,
yes.
I think they're doing okay. They got all the permissions they needed the other day. And you know, and then also there's a couple of other fascinating apartment projects going on in the River Market. George Burt's still moving ahead with his River Market West, but a project I really think is going to be fascinating. Jonathan Arnold wants to develop a couple of hundred units down on 2nd Street in that fill in that field there that between it's going to take over what was left of that old Kansas City Southern freight yard down there near Market Station, and he really wants to do some very cool environmentally friendly stuff. He wants to build it with what they call passive housing, where the walls are like 16 inches thick, et cetera. It takes 70% to 80% less energy to heat and cool. And he also wants to have green roofs that are not only a green roof, but you can actually, there'll be gardening spaces for people who live in the apartments. You know, there's some fun things going on in the River Market, but that Centropolis project, as far as I'm aware, those guys are still moving forward with it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike, thank you. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, is the boon in construction along the streetcar line downtown? I'm talking from the River Market to the Crown Center area. You know, what was hoped for there, and is the expectation being satisfied?
Well, it's certainly created a lot of great buzz. There are a couple of developments, including this Centropolis that the gentleman just mentioned that's right near the streetcar line. What's interesting is people are saying, yeah, we like the streetcar. We think it's a really attractive thing. This developer out of Boulder wants to do a place on 15th and Main that he said, I wouldn't have even looked at this market if it hadn't been for the streetcar. Huh. The caveat is that nobody is building buildings or designing projects that don't forego parking. I mean, they're all going to still have the same amount of parking as if they were on the streetcar line or they were somewhere out in southern Johnson County. We have not gotten – the streetcar is a great amenity. It's creating a lot – again, it's almost as much psychology as anything else.
It's not a long enough of a line yet for people to be able to forego their cars,
yeah,
right?
It definitely not. I mean, if mm-hmm. you know, it's a great shuttle. It's a great, like, my God, Kansas City, we're finally in the game. I mean, we've watched Denver and Minneapolis and Portland and Phoenix and Dallas and even our cross-state rival St. Louis build rail transit, and everybody's been so frustrated, I think, over the past decade with our inability to get off the dime. I think it's as much a factor of showing people that we know we want to be a one of the better cities in the country. We want to have these kinds of amenities. A lot of young people, the millennials, I've had a lot of fun the past month or so writing stories about efforts to try to jazz up our town to make it more appealing to the folks in their 20s and early 30s. And a streetcar is very, very integrated in that. Again, when you get down to the nuts and bolts issues that developers look at, they're still putting the parking in there. Mm-hmm. Even Jonathan Arnold with this project on 2nd Street, which is close to the streetcar, is going to have several hundred parking spots, despite all the green factors there, because we're still a very car-dependent community.
You know, you still wonder, this big vote coming up in Kansas City this fall on expanding the line from the Crown Center area out to roughly 51st Street, taking out to UMKC, to the plaza area. You know, it's going to be a big decision for the citizens of this town. Lots of folks wondering where people are going to land on that thing. A lot of future wrapped up in that call.
Steve, you know more about politics than I ever will. I'm skeptical that they're going to be able to pull it off. I mean, it also, don't forget, there's the two lines to the east that they're talking about on Independence and Linwood.
Yeah.
I was a bit surprised that the city decided to go this route in trying to finance this project. I mean, the downtown streetcar worked with the Transportation Development District because it was a very politically expedient way to get something done finally. Essentially, you had several hundred apartment residents vote for this thing.
Yeah.
They really, you know, the property owners didn't have a heck of a lot of say in it. Now you're trying to expand that whole model to a much larger area. And, you know, you're going to be asking a pretty good section of the city's population to vote for an increase in their property tax and a 1% increase in their sales tax. And many of them are not going to be anywhere near that streetcar line. I just think it should have been, in my mind, something that the entire city should have been asked to vote on, because it's a city-wide it's a city institution that they're trying to build here.
And the new streetcar line, the starter line from River Market to Crown Center, won't even be up and operating by the time voters go to the polls this fall. So this is really a kind of a leap of faith the mayor and the council is sort of asking residents to go for here, and a real challenge, maybe the first real serious challenge to Mayor Sly James' leadership capabilities.
I couldn't agree more. And also, there may be somebody lying in the weeds right now that's going to drop a big chunk of money to oppose this thing, and I'm not sure the advocates have the money, financial resources to push this thing. I mean, I'm not wishing them ill. Don't get me wrong. But I would be pleasantly surprised, let's just say, if this thing flies through two elections, not just one, but two.
Maybe our listeners have their two cents on what they think about the future of streetcars. Are they going to back this new proposal this fall or not? 816-235-2888 is our number here. Kevin, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here with the Star's Kevin Collison. We'll turn to Cerner. We'll turn to UMKC's Downtown Music Conservatory, River Market, and a whole bunch more. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our conversations about Kansas City Rep's 50th anniversary and how board games are how they're doing in the digital age, you can find them at kcur.org. Tuesday in the program, the condition of 100 million Americans living with pain, often overlooked, plus the relationship between U.S. presidents and the CIA. That's tomorrow on the show. This hour, we're visiting with Kevin Collison, who covers development for the Kansas City Star. We were talking in our first half about the streetcar line. Do folks favor an expansion even beyond Crown Center going south or not? That's the question on the table. 816-235-2888 or email us up-to-date at kcur.org. Let's go to some phone calls here. And Sue from Brookside. Sue, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very much opposed to this tax because I feel it's an unfriendly tax. The people who are going to benefit from it, everybody should be paying for it. It's sales taxes tend to be regressive. The property taxes is going to be regressive. And why is one-third of a mile going to add to your property value versus one-half a mile? So I'm opposed to the way it's being taxed. If it was a tax on everybody in the city, I'd be more in favor of it. And thank you.
That's interesting. Kevin, you were making a similar point in our first half here.
She's hitting the pulse of folks. I mean, it is a city asset. And I think, again, the way they're going about financing this thing is not the right way to do it.
And I've heard the mayor say that if this thing doesn't pass, it could be several years before the city fathers and mothers would bring this thing out before the voters again.
Well, it could be. I mean, another issue involved is apparently there is a strong belief at City Hall that our best bet at getting federal funding to build this thing is to strike within the next year or two. You know, that there's a fear that once the Obama administration's gone, the next administration won't be as friendly towards transit. So that could be an explanation as to what the sense of urgency is at City Hall to get this thing out.
It's interesting. BJ from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I'm wondering if the guest knows anything about the 63rd and Prospect Project. It's had all the issues with the housing and the asbestos. So are there any plans with the development of that area? And I can listen off air.
Yeah, BJ, thank you. And this is
once known as the Citadel development.
The long-cursed Citadel development.
Yeah, it was really a fiasco. I know the city now owns that property. I believe that steps are being taken to environmentally clean it up. As far as any actual project that's in the works, I'm not aware of anything. You know, they've finally gotten past the mess that had been going on for several years with some of the environmental issues this woman mentioned. But as far as and the city has control of it, it's no longer in the hands of developers that may or may not be capable of getting things done. But I think we're in kind of the setting the table stage and waiting yet to see what the meal is going to be that somebody might want to put on that table.
Okay. Clark from Kansas City, Missouri, has a question about something, a development in the West Bottoms. Clark, you're on with Kevin Collison. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Wayne Reeder has announced he might do something with the Well Wheel building at 933 Mulberry Street in the West Bottoms, some 250 apartments. Is that a rumor, or is that something that might happen?
No, it's not a rumor. He's got all his approvals from the city for incentives. As far as when he actually plans to start that project, I'm not sure. But it's a real deal, and he has gone through the planning process at City Hall and gotten all his approvals. So now it's a matter of him lining up the financing and contractors and everything else. But no, this is not a rumor. This is something that's definitely in the pipeline.
Well, thank Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Clark. How is the West Bottoms doing these days? I haven't been down for a while.
You can go to Boulevardia with me on Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
It'll be a blast. Well, you know, we may be getting into
Boulevardia
this.
Boulevardia
is a big festival. Boulevard Beer is going to throw Father's Day weekend there. I'm actually looking forward to that. I think the West Bottoms, the big issue right now is the whole controversy over what do we do with Kemper Arena.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I think the Bottoms itself is stable and is doing well. I know there are ongoing issues with a prisoner halfway release place on the north side of the Bottoms, which a lot of people think the state is being irresponsible about. I think the older buildings are, you know, there's a great scene down there. I mean, you know, this is one of these places, and I've said it in the past, where I think the best thing the city can do for the West Bottoms, other than this whole Kemper Arena debate, is just have a good fire station down there, because I want those buildings to be saved, because I think someday they're going to be just a very cool part of our city. I don't think its time is right yet. I think what's going on right now, very organic, very low-key, artists, flea markets, folks just living down there and just doing their thing, is great. And as the gentleman mentioned, Wayne, Reeder is the first developer actually to take a look at doing a major overhaul of a historic building, which has been, again, a big part of what's brought a lot of housing downtown. I think the incremental organic stuff that's going on in the West Bottoms is great. I just would hate to see some of those beautiful old buildings go down in flames. So I do hope that public safety and the fire department is Johnny on the spot if anything ever happens.
Is there a lack of fire protection down there?
I don't know. I mean, when I first came to town 10 years ago, there was one of the beautiful big buildings went up in flames.
Yeah.
I mean, they're older buildings and with wood frames, and there are still, I think, transients that break into some of these places. And, you know, anything can happen. And, again, I just think that it's a marvelous resource for our community that down the road is going to be an incredible part of our city. I think it's a little early for the city to throw too many resources at it. And, again, that's all separate from the question about Kemper.
Let's go to Juan, who has a question about Northeast Kansas City. Juan, good morning.
Good morning. I just wondered, you know, because I received a bunch of letters from investors to historical Northeast, and I own some properties over there, and, you know, they want to buy, and so I just need to know or wonder what's going on Northeast. Can you give us a tip or something?
Yeah, thank you, Juan. What is happening in the Northeast? Much of anything?
Yeah, I wish I could. That's a part of our city I don't know that much about. It's a beautiful area. It's a very culturally diverse. You know, I know they want to put the streetcar up Independence, which obviously would be the idea would be to attract more investment along Independence, etc. You know, I wish I could say that I had some ideas. I know the city's making major investments in refurbishing the city museum there. There, again, is some gorgeous architecture up there. People who I've read about and heard about like to live there. I can't say that there's any major investment other than the fact that the city is pitching the idea of building a streetcar line up that direction, which, of course, you know, the hope for a result would be, you know, increasing development along that corridor.
Juan, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
You have one more question, Juan?
No, I just believe something is cooking around because, you know, there's a lot of investors moving in, buying, you know, offering a lot of, you know, money for property. So we just wonder, is it going to happen the same as the West Side or?
Be a good model. I mean, what's happened on the West Side could be a very good model, although you guys have some just beautiful buildings in that area. And a lot of the new stuff that's gone on the West Side has been some kind of cutting-edge architects and folks building some very cool houses and vacant lots. But I know a lot of younger people are discovering what a wonderful part of the city that
it's
is.
It's a wonderful part of town. Juan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's get one more call here for Kevin. Then we'll go on to the Cerner Corporation, River Market, and a whole bunch more. Mac from Waldo, you're on with Kevin Collison from The Star. We're talking development in the KC Metro. Good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering if you knew about the Oxford on the Green project out there close to the Cerner area.
Oxford on the Blue.
Blue.
On the Blue.
Blue on Green. We can play some Miles Davis here.
Oh, the Blue River, not the
Green
River.
Yeah, right. Whitney Kerr Sr. is a veteran real estate person, and he is working for Jim Stowers III, who's certainly got some deep pockets. They've pretty much laid out a fairly large tract of land in an area that they think someday could be an attractive place for research campus-type office development.
And where is this again?
Well, it's north of actually the Cerner property. It's in South Kansas City. It's on the east side of 435. It's on the Blue River. It's been something that has been in the works. It's got some of the city permits already, or permissions already. At this point, they don't have any tenants, though. It's an idea and the land has been assembled, and you've got some smart people behind it, but they don't have any tenants identified for it. I think this is one of these deals that if the Cerner thing takes off, and it's huge, as we know, and we'll talk about that Cerner project, that it may attract some other folks who want to be close to that, but I would be very surprised if you see any actual construction going on there for a while.
Thanks.
Okay, Mac, thank you. Let's talk about Cerner for a moment, now that Mac has brought it up. You've just reported that Cerner is expanding its planned Three Trails office campus, which includes, obviously, the site of the former Bannister Mall, which has been such a struggle and a challenge for the city for so many years. What's going on with Cerner? What are they doing out there?
You know, they've already got a 230-odd-acre development site out there for their Three Trails campus project. This was approved last fall by the city. It's talking about 4+ million square feet of office space built out over the next 10 years.
4 million.
4 million plus. That was the plan that got approved last fall. And, you know, Cerner expects ultimately to have 15,000 new jobs created there. And just the other day, they decided there was a little corner, 50-acre corner of that property that they did not acquire. And they still haven't actually acquired it, but it was left outside of the original Three Trails development. They decided they want to pursue that. They want to take that 50 acres. Right now, there's a couple of what people tell me are blighted motels and some other less than desirable property, especially if you're going to be dropping billions of dollars in new construction. And so they want to take that in. They want to, and what's good for one of the things that you know, Cerner. Believe me, I wish we had a dozen Cerners here because that would be just fabulous.
Because that company has really emerged.
They
as
are
sort
plugged
of,
into
the
global
the
economy.
Now,
they
right?
Well, they're hiring people like our engineering firms. I mean, they are plugged into the global economy, and that is Kansas City's future. I mean, we really the kinds of firms that are bringing the wealth of the world to our city. Those are vital for our future here. But so bottom line is, though, there was a lot of criticism some criticism by people that the original design Cerner had come up for with this campus. It was basically an island of office buildings surrounded by a sea of asphalt parking, more than 13,000 parking spots. This new, if they do get this additional 50 acres and move forward with this revamp project, they're going to add a lot more green space. They're going to actually put a garage in, and they're going to open up another couple of buildings, one a training center and one a clinic for their employees. So, you know, God bless them as far as just taking what has been a real lemon down there in South Kansas City. And at the end of the day, you know, the city, hopefully, if everything goes according to what Cerner plans, will have a very vibrant, dynamic, new quadrant of economic activity that perhaps will also have a good ripple effect on the surrounding neighborhoods.
Your questions welcome at 816-235-2888. Well, you just mentioned what a problem this Cerner is solving for Kansas City. As we've discussed before in this show with you, Kevin, the site of the Bannister Mall has been an eyesore for a long time. This is a huge flip turnaround for the city, right?
And what was kind of fascinating is, you know, the city thought they'd really lost the opportunity a couple of years ago, because there had been that earlier plan where Cerner was always behind the scenes when they were talking about having the Sporting Kansas City soccer stadium down there with retail. Always everybody knew that Cerner was going to come in big if that happened. When that went away and went out to Western Wyandotte County, a lot of people thought, well, you know, now we're stuck with this blighted property for the foreseeable future. But Neil Patterson and Cliff Illig had held on to a lot of the land they'd already purchased. It's close to their Marion Lab space. The Innovation Campus, I think they call it.
Yeah.
So they really like that area. And it also is fascinating. It's attractive to them because it's close to I-435.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating how so much activity in our suburban areas is geared towards that I-435 accessibility. And so if you have that Bannister property redeveloped as an office campus and you live in Overland Park or southern Johnson County, you can hop on 435 and be at your job in 15, 20 minutes, which is appealing to these guys.
I mean, give us some sense of context, Kevin, when it comes to Cerner and just what a major player it has become. I mean, it really is. Is it the largest company in the Kansas City area now?
Oh, well, I think by staff, it is probably bigger than Sprint now.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure. I know this campus project is bigger than the Sprint campus in Overland Park. You know, they have just – they had a great idea about making, electronic medical records into electronic form that you can use computers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
They're growing beyond that. Now they're getting in kind of total healthcare type of consulting work. But they came up with a good product. They made some major contracts overseas. I think England started using their services several years ago. And with the pressure now with the healthcare reform for hospitals and medical folks to be much more efficient and to, you know, they are riding a great wave of investment and they're hiring people and they're looking for people. And again, getting back to this millennial thing, you know, they want a lot of young, talented folks to work there. And again, trying to make Kansas City a more popular place. And I think we're doing pretty well, to be honest with you. We're not Denver or Portland, but I think we're holding our own as far as being an appealing, attractive environment for young people.
And you hear talk, and I got to emphasize, it's nothing more than talk, just sort of street chatter, that if David Glass would ever want to sell the Royals someday, that by George, Neil Patterson is in.
Well, maybe that's getting outside my expertise.
To keep local ownership here to step in and grab the Royals and keep them here and on we go
and a lot of people see what they've done with Sporting KC and just the great energy they've created around professional soccer in this town. And they think, boy, if they had a chance to take the Royals, they might kick them up a few notches.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Another big company, Burns and Mac. Kevin, the city council just approved the Burns and Mac McDonald headquarters expansion onto the site of the former Beth Shalom Synagogue. And this is, 95th and...
It's out on the end of Ward Parkway where it meets up with Warnell. It's basically, they call it kind of the jewel at the end of Ward Parkway. Their current world headquarters are at 9400 Ward Parkway, Burns and McDonald. And this property, the old Beth Shalom Synagogue, is immediately adjacent to them. It's, you know...
And that thing wasn't in the greatest shape, right?
It was apparently just a mess. I mean, you know, it was blighted. People were breaking into the place. It's got poor drainage, et cetera. Now, you know, again, this got into the whole debate over what kinds of incentives should have been offered there. There was a lot of people that said, look, Burns & Mac is an extremely successful company. You know, it's always a fine balance. And Burns & Mac, I don't think we're trying to play the state border war card, but they did get a generous incentive package because they are going to have to demolish this old synagogue, clean up the asbestos, the lead paint, all the other junk. They're going to have to improve the drainage there. But the point is, the bigger point is, they expect to hire another 2,100 people over the next 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
These are engineers. They said, you know, and you can take all these with a grain of salt, these consultants' reports, but the average salary, $126,000. Those are the kinds of jobs that buy nice homes, that spin off a lot of the other employment. And so the plan is they're going to start, in fact, I think they're already doing interior demolition on the old synagogue right now. And they'll have this up and running, I think, in a year and a half, and it'll be 400,000 square feet plus office. And then there's an opportunity for another building to go up there, too. But getting back, it's like Cerner. It's like another one of these companies, Black & Veatch is the same way, and Garmin. You know, companies that are just plugged into that global economy. And that, again, is, you know, as the years go on into the 21st century, Kansas City's future has got to get us having companies that are doing that kind of global work so that we are – I mean, we are in global competition. I know it can be a cliche sometimes, but it's very true. We're not competing with Omaha and Wichita and Des Moines and St. Louis. We're going after stuff that might be going to England or Germany or, you know, Latin America or the Far East.
Kevin Collison is here. He covers development for the Kansas City Star. We're talking about development all around the metro here. Just a few minutes left. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888. Kevin, UMKC just announced that it's identified the site for a proposed downtown UMKC Conservatory of Music. The site, 17th Street and Broadway, a group of anonymous donors bought it for the university. Are you getting the sense that this this project actually is going to happen? It's been a little touch and go for a while. What do you think's happening here?
This was an important step to have an actual site identified. You know, Julia Irene Kaufman a year ago made a challenge grant of $20 million for this project.
Yeah.
And they really hadn't gotten anybody to meet her challenge. I think a lot of people were waiting to see where exactly they want to
do
this.
Where's it going to be and what's it going to look
like? And what it's
going
to look like. We still don't know what it's going to look like, but it should help with the fundraising, I would think.
The Chancellor, Leo Morton, says that's exactly what's going to happen here.
Well, God bless him. I hope he's right. There are still a few residual skeptics out there that think the conservatory should stay on the Volcker campus. But I think there's a lot of people who see this as a marvelous opportunity, both for the students and with the synergy with the Kauffman Center. And, it's a great location. It's due south of the Kauffman Center. And actually, one of the nice things to me, is they built a huge parking garage for the Kauffman Center that during the daytime is practically empty. And this would be a wonderful opportunity to get more effective use out of that garage. Students and faculty could use it during the daytime. It would just generate a tremendous amount of additional information or energy for the Crossroads. We're talking 700 people,
and this is across the street from the Kauffman Center, right?
It's immediately to the south of the Kauffman Garage. Yeah, across 17th Street. It's on the southeast corner of 17th and Broadway.
On the same side of the street as Broadway? On the same side of Broadway as the Kauffman Center is?
Yeah, it's on the east side of Broadway.
Okay.
And it's just a great location. And it's also right next to a kind of a neat community garden that DST developed to the south between south of 18th Street. So, the people who put this together were very thoughtful, and I think they realized this would be the maximum location for this facility.
So that site makes sense to you as you're looking at
this? It looks good to
thing.
Me, but, I'm just a reporter.
Yeah, okay. The River Market, we talked a little bit about this $50 million apartment project in the River Market area. Tell us again what that's all about.
Well, it's just, there's a lot of apartment development going on, but the guy behind it, Jonathan Arnold's fascinating guy. He came to town from New York back in the beginning of the century, had a kind of a cool computer graphics company doing animated stuff. He did a lot of stuff for Cordish. Well, anyway, he also got hired by the United Nations a couple of years ago to help with this big follow-up they had to their Rio conference on environmental sustainability, et cetera. And his job was to take ideas that people submitted from all over the world for the world they want to see in another 20, 30 years. So he picked up on some of the smartest and interesting, most interesting things as far as environmental design. He wants to incorporate some of these ideas into this property. Second Street, if you haven't been down there, is really a beautiful street these days. When I first came again, it was where the Kansas City Southern had some kind of a switchyard down there. It was a mess. Now it's a lovely area. About 4 or 5 years ago, a group of developers out of Texas did a project called Market Station, 300 apartments, very nice. Then Jonathan and another partner did the old it was an old paper recycling building that dates back 100 years ago at the corner first. So this would be a nice infill project. And it's also going to be designed again with these new state-of-the-art ideas that make it more energy efficient. And you can get your hands dirty doing your little rooftop garden if you want, which is kind of an appeal if you don't want to give up that house because you like that little green space out there.
Now, you just talked in a piece you did for the paper about how millennials are finding Kansas City to be a pretty good town to live in. And again, that was sort of contrary to some of the conventional wisdom that would have suggested that maybe Kansas City wasn't hip enough or whatever. But you found that
We're doing okay. I mean, the Brookings Institute did a survey of where folks in that millennial generation, which, they're in their 20s, early 30s, have been moving to net increase migration. And Kansas City ranked 14th in the country among 51 metros over a million people. Again, you look at Portland and you look at Denver, they were getting 12,000 net new millennials in 2009, 2010, and 2011, or three-year period anyway. We got about 2,200. Mm-hmm. But, it defies kind of the notion that we're this stodgy old conservative Midwestern city. It's not hip. And the funny thing is, you take all these things with a grain of salt. But so you got the statistics from the Brookings Institute saying, yes, we are gaining population in that critical group that companies want, that vibrant cities want. And we're getting this social media buzz. I mean, we're showing up on all these lists, and you can take all that stuff with a grain of salt. But we're, the best, top 35 places for people under 35, in your 20s, 20 places you want to visit. We're making all these lists, which creates good buzz out there. And so you go to a lot of these festivals, and you go to First Friday, and it's a happening thing. It's fun.
Kevin Collison, thanks so much, man. Always good to have
you
here.
Always a pleasure.
That's Kevin Collison. He's with the Kansas City Star. He covers development there. You can find more information about all of our broadcasts. Just go to kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske. Got some aches that just won't go away? Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about the rising problems of chronic pain. We'll also take a look at the changing role of the CIA. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, Cody Newell, and Jenny Woody. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.